And good morning. Welcome to From the Stand. Great to have you here on Friday. We've been spending the week talking to a wide variety of guests, and we'll do the same today in the next hour. Just like to remind you that From the Stand is supported by the Commemorative Air Force, honoring America's military aviation heritage through flight, exhibition, and remembrance. With more than 11,000 members operating 164 vintage aircraft, the CAF is the world's largest private air force in the world. Get more information at thecommemorativeairforce.org. This morning, we are going to return to the depths of the Cold War, take you back to the days of really the intense conflict between the Soviet Union and the United States with Gary Powers, Jr. We'll also catch up with Amelia Rose Earhart, who just completed an around-the-world flight, and Jack Pelton. EIA's chairman will be here to kind of give us an update on Air Venture at midweek. But right now, we're going to talk with Lieutenant Colonel William O'Connor about the F-117 stealth fighter. Good morning, sir.
Good morning to you. Glad to be here.
Good. You've been here before at Oshkosh, right?
This is my third year.
Great. This year, you flew in your Bonanza, and I noticed you've taken a different way of seeing the show here, hasn't it?
Yeah. I want to make this a permanent visit, so... quick trip to the emergency room on the way there, and I've been hobbling around, but it's well worth the trip still.
a little injury while pushing your airplane into its parking spot, right?
Yes. The irony is I just spent an entire week doing a World War II parachute school, jumping out of 72-year-old airplanes, but pushing airplanes on the grass is what did me in. So,
well, welcome to Oshkosh anyway. I hope you, even with that, you'll still enjoy the trip. Let's talk a little bit about the F-117A. You were a pilot of that airplane, but let's go back to the development of the airplane, which really started in the late 70s, early 80s.
Really middle 70s. What really changed the world of aviation was the Yom Kippur War, 1973. All of a sudden, the Russians were fielding and selling surface-to-air missiles that we really did not have a counter for, so DARPA, Defense Agency, decided to come up with as close to invisible to radar as they could possibly get. They sent out proposals. Lockheed initially had not even been invited to compete. But Ben Rich kind of bet the farm. He went in. He begged in. They said, well, we'll give you a $1 contract to make an airplane. He says, you know, you can keep the dollar and we'll still make the airplane.
Right.
But he came up with what eventually became the F-117. It was revolutionary, mostly because it put together four or five different technologies at the same time, at the right period of history. 10 years earlier, they couldn't have done it because they didn't have the computers. 10 years later, it probably would have been obsolete for other factors, but it was just the right guy with the right technology at the right time in history.
Great. And when was the first test flights? Those took place out in the desert, right?
There were two HAVBLU experimental airplanes just to prove that things could fly, and they were the contracts for these were cut in 1975. Gerry Ford was president when we got into the stealth fighter business. The first one, HAVBLU 1, was not a terribly safe airplane. It flew 37 times before it crashed into the desert. HAVBLU 2 is much better. That lasted 52 sorties before it crashed. Interesting story is, because they were so secret, they just went out to the desert with a bulldozer, made a big hole, covered it over, and it said to this day, nobody knows where those two airplanes are anymore. They've never marked them out there, so some archaeologist has a surprise waiting for them someday.
That will be a surprise, indeed. Yeah. And then the test program progresses. What's the
time
frame?
By late 70s, we're starting to build actual combat-coded aircraft through about 1982. In the early days, they were all, we called it the black days, they were all kept in tonopah. The existence was not covered whatsoever. In fact, America had been running a secret MiG squadron up in Tonopah for years, and that was more or less the cover story for the F-117. They had the security arrangements in place. The idea was that if the cover's ever blown, we'll give up the MiGs and to hide the secondary secret, which was the 117. 1988, we try to integrate the airplane a little better into the real world, so its existence is announced, though it's still kept up at Tonopah. Those are the gray days. That's kind of when you start seeing it hit the airshow circuit big.
Right.
Of course, in 1991, the Gulf War came out. Spectacular performance there. Shortly after, we moved to Holloman Air Force Base, which is about where I joined the team. So I was about midway through its life. A typical class was three.
Okay.
We only had to make about 12 airplanes a year. At any given time, only 40 airplanes were flyable, so there was not a lot of turnover. Everybody had to be second assignment to get in, mostly because had the experience, he had the security clearances already, and primarily because you only made single-seat airplanes. Your very first training mission was your very first solo, and if five rides later was your check ride, and you were pretty much done and kind of expected to teach yourself after that.
Wow. How did you progress to get to the F-117? What were some of the other aircraft you flew?
My career is about as convoluted as you could get. I started off in T-33s, planning to be in Air Defense Command. Got a few rides the F-106 before ADC was disbanded entirely. Went into the F-16 world. Tampa was training Homestead, Florida. We left just before the hurricane, fortunately. Went to a factory in Fort Worth, was a F-16 test pilot there for a few years, which is the best job I ever have. They have that new car smell, and you deliver them around the world, and so you're the first guy to fly every different model out there. After that, I went to the Egyptian Air Force, flew with the Egyptian Air Force for a year in the Sinai Desert, teaching them how to fly at night, and F-16s also. Following that, I did an exchange with the Navy, flew T-2s and A-4s, got to carrier qual with those guys, which was kind of a trip. And they say, your job is to teach naval aviation cadets how to land on carriers. And I said, sir, I haven't actually done that myself yet. Says, okay, teach yourself. And that was kind of my education of the Navy system. Following that, I went into the EF-111 for just 2 years. It was either that or a desk job in Ohio, so the airplane looked okay. And that's what led to the F-117 for about 3.5. And I finished my career flying T-37s with the Euronatal pilot training. I was a senior national rep for U.S. pilot training at Shepherd Air Force Base, and that's where I'm still living now.
For those who don't remember the airplane, because it's now been...
2008 was the last one.
Yeah, it's been gone a number of years. This is the Black Fighter, swept wings, and all the different angles.
Exactly.
I remember the first time I saw it, I thought, how can that fly? And it did.
I had exactly the very same thought. They actually have a little ceremony where they introduce you to the airplane. Every airplane had its own closed climate control hangar, little flag fluttering from the rafters overhead, and they would slowly open the doors, and light would slowly emit in, and you take this thing in, they kind of gave you an appropriate sense of awe before you walked up and touched the thing.
What was it like to actually fly it? I mean, it looks ungangly on the ground, but it looked like it would.
The flying was very artificial. There was a lot of flight control computers. In fact, there were four sets of flight control computers cribbed right from the F-16 in order to make it fly. It worked well within a very narrow set of definitions. What we used to like to say was the very best airplane in the world, but it only did one thing. So,
and what was the one thing that it did?
It would sneak in places it wasn't supposed to be and put a laser-guided bomb where the president wanted it.
Exactly. And as you mentioned, the performance of the F-117A during the Gulf War was just amazing. During the years, have talked to some of the pilots who actually flew in the Gulf War, and they were, I think they were just as surprised that the technology worked as well and that they were able to get in and out before
Very common refrain from everybody who flew their first mission going into, you can hear them talking because we had a running videotape on all these, you know, to a man who said, let's find out if this stuff really works.
Right. And it did. Time with the 117, where were you stationed?
I was at Holloman the entire time, other than when we deployed to the Kosovo War. We were stationed in northern Italy and then Germany for about 6 months all combined before we came back to Holloman.
So you mentioned the airplane was pretty much retired in 2008. What precipitated that? I mean, there was a very long development process.
It probably lasted as long as any other airplane, but the first half was hidden, so you didn't see it. It just kind of materialized out of thin air. The airplane lasted almost 30 years operationally. Every single combat-coded airplane is still in flyable storage up in Tonopah right now. If you see an F-117 in a museum, it's one of the development airplanes. All the combat ones are still out there.
Okay.
And they fly them on occasion for test programs and things.
Excellent. You have a book out. It's called Stealth Fighter, A Year in the Life of an F-117 Pilot. Mm-hmm. That's for sale here at the show, is
it? It's in the warehouse bookstore and the other bookstores around here. I'm also be at Kristen Hill's booth in Hangar A, booth 1158, in about an hour. And at 14:30, I'll be in Forum 7 giving a presentation to whoever happens to be around.
All right. And for those of you like me who are 24-hour clock challenged, that's 2:30.
2:30 in the afternoon. 2.5 hours after lunch.
Okay. Thank you. Forum Building Number 7, that's the Honda Pavilion. Stop by and listen in to Lieutenant Colonel O'Connor's presentation. Definitely, you'll have more time to go into the the characteristics of the airplane.
Have pictures, too.
And pictures. Yeah. Excellent.
Hard to do on radio.
Excellent. 2:30 today, the forum in building number 7. Otherwise, stop by Kristen Hill's booth, Hangar A, 1158. And good luck getting your way home with the Bonanza and the hopefully feeling better foot.
Well spoken.
Lieutenant Colonel William O'Connor, he's here joining us this morning. Stealth Fighter, a year in the life of an F-117 pilot. Stop by, see him, and pick up a copy of his book. You are listening to From the Stand on EIA Radio.